This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
All right. Thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks, everybody. First and foremost, we are 10 minutes away from giving away two free tickets to the Moon Tower Music Festival here in Lexington. That will be at Masterson Station Park on this Saturday, August 27th at 12 p.m., doors at 11. And we are going to tell you in a few minutes how you can go about winning those two tickets for you and one other lucky person. So, first of all, Grant, have we got a short article to start off with before we go into the giveaway?
Yeah, sure. Here we go. Here's an article coming to us over from NBC. They have a report that says that some people may naturally have more of a requirement for coffee than others. So it might actually be built in to someone and therefore actually genetic. They found a gene that correlates very well with how much coffee someone drinks, which is interesting. This is the original article was published in Nature Scientific, and it's just I find this interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised that we find genetic markers linked to a lot of things, but drinking coffee is one of the ones I'm a little bit more surprised by.
Interesting.
It's not just correlated to a binary, it's actually related to consumption overall. And so they found a group of markers in a scan, and they refer to them as non-additive genome-wide associations.
Okay.
So that basically means that we're talking about a group, a genome, that if any of these are triggered in this group, then it makes it more
likely that you'll need coffee to function, and like in the morning or whatnot.
But somebody who has all of them may not necessarily be drinking more than somebody who has
one active.
Yeah, exactly.
Because even if you have all of these genes, they're still as long as they're inactive, they're not affecting you. As soon as one of them becomes active, that's when you're going to, in this case, be dealing with more coffee, which is kind of interesting that we've been able to map out the human DNA and everything that makes us who we are down to this level, to where we've identified specific genomes. That's the proper term, correct? Specific genomes within our DNA that identifies whether or not we are more likely to need coffee, like in the morning, or more likely to drink more coffee than, say, anyone else, the average person. And it's really just kind of amazing to me, especially considering that we didn't really know for a fact that DNA was a double helix structure until
about 60 years ago.
Yeah, it's been less than 100 years since we figured out what human DNA looks like and started mapping DNA. And I actually had a really interesting course on this. Part of the reason we were able to do that is actually thanks to a woman by the name of Henrietta Lacks, she's the progeny of the, HeLa cell strain. And so HeLa cells were used very heavily in the early, 40s and 50s for testing and whatnot, because they grew so quickly in culture. And they were cancer cells from a woman by the name of Henrietta Lacks. And UK actually has a course here it's all more about cancer than anything, because they were actually originally cancer cells that they started using more or less as just quickly acting cells. Her cells were the first humans, HeLa cells were the first human cells ever sent into space to see how they'd react. And, by the use of HeLa cells, we were able to identify a lot of common, DNA traits, because it became so widely available that the person who was manufacturing them would carry around samples in his pocket to conferences and give them away. And, you know, just the rapid sharing of information that came about so quickly of everything to do with DNA and human health that started really picking up right before and during and after World War II. I find it has interesting historical consequences.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. It has been very historically relevant, and it's also been very relevant in a social way. It raises a lot of questions about what it means to donate oneself to science. Mm-hmm. And for what I remember of the story of Gila, there was some controversy around
how the cells were obtained. They were actually obtained without her informed consent. Which became a very large issue, in general.
And that's the term, by and large, that we use now is informed consent, being that someone can agree to something without fully understanding the repercussions of what they're doing. And so, likewise, I think Gila was actually one of the big things that pushed us towards that. Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, it's a very fascinating story. I highly recommend you, everyone who can, to Google either Gila cells, and that's large H, little E, large L, little A, cells, or Henrietta Lacks, Henrietta, space, Lacks. It's a fascinating story. Read up on it, and it really makes you, you know, wonder how some of our medical science came about, because it's not really well documented. There's, you know, a lot of issues that resulted of all of these things. And it's a very controversial issue and very interesting read, so I highly recommend everyone who's capable to go and look that up here in a few minutes. So, without further ado, we're about 3 minutes to the top of the hour when we're doing the giveaway. So, the way this is going to work is at 7 o'clock, we are going to let you all know when to start calling in, and that's when we will announce the phone number to, you know, call in. The person who is the first caller, is that okay? So we're going to do the person who is the first caller will receive the two tickets. So we ask everyone wait to call in until after we, you know, go on and let you all know. And even for those of you who may not win the tickets, I highly recommend looking into trying to go to the Moon Tower Music Festival. They have a great lineup this year. I saw a poster earlier somewhere here in the station room saying some of the acts, and now I can't find it again, or else I'd read off some of the people who were playing. We do have on the tickets themselves, they're showing Manchester Orchestra, Drive By Truckers, and Trombone Shorty and Orlean will be playing at Masterson Park tomorrow on Saturday, August 27th at noon. So it should be a really interesting festival, really awesome, and we really hope to see a lot of you guys go out to that and enjoy. In the meantime, though, have we got one last short article before we go into this again?
Nothing short enough to cover in a couple
minutes. Nothing short enough. Okay.
Let's play a track.
All right, yeah, we'll play a quick track. And when the track is over, we will call, or we will get back on here and announce to everyone how you can win your tickets. And so keep it locked all the way to the left at your only alternative left, WRFL Lexington.
Current time is 7:10 in the evening. Thanks for joining with us. It's time to hit some technology. First up on Tech Talks this hour, got an article from NASA. This one's, I think it's pretty interesting. Maybe it's just because I'm a nerd, but last year, Scott Kelly set the record at 520 cumulative days in space. He did 2 6-month runs back to back last year, which made it a full year. It was something like 340 days in space. And then in the previous years, he had done two other sessions on, or actually just one other session on the space station. So he's done three non-consecutive visits to the space station for 6 months, which leads him to a grand total of 520 days in space. Rolling around to this August, landing on September 6th, Jeff Williams will break that record with 534 non-consecutive days in space, which is a lot of time for one person. And I think this is actually going to be kind of interesting because we've never let people spend so much of their life in space before, and we're finally actually somewhat able to see the repercussions of that, because at this point we're talking about the kind of lengths of space travel that someone would have in order to visit another planet. I mean, this is the kind of lengths of time someone would take to go to Mars, for example, you know. And so the fact that somebody can live continuously in space like that, and even non-continuously in space, is an important step towards understanding what the physical and medical concerns will be when that comes around. So, in tune, Scott Kelly sent a congratulations to Jeff Williams on breaking his record. This week, he actually reached his 521st day today. So, that's an exciting bit of timing there. He's one of three members of Expedition 48, which is the 48th long-term crew that's been on the International Space Station.
I have to interrupt you there. That I love how humans have such an innate skill for naming things in the most obvious manner possible. Crew 48 is the 48th crew on the ISS. Who would have thunk? Wow.
Well, they had some short-term missions when they were setting it up, and I think those actually got a different nomenclature.
That's fine. I'm just saying that
they're actually something like the 60th group.
Our lunar missions had a lot cooler names. Apollo 1, Apollo 2, Apollo 11. That's pretty cool. Apollo, yeah, that's a cool name.
We just picked a different name instead of expedition.
I mean, we... Yeah, but still, Expedition 48.
The only
that
difference
sounds
there,
so box cutter boring, as opposed to like Apollo 11. Apollo like is inspiring, you know.
I mean,
or
expedition
like Voyager
just happens to be a word that has a meaning in this language. Other than, I don't know. I think Voyager is a good one.
Yeah, but I mean, and think about it. Voyager was an apt description of where it's going while not just being like Deep Space Probe number 12. Okay, that's boring.
All for Deep Space Probe number 12.
Right?
That's what I'm going to go work at NASA, and I'm going to make 12 probes just so I can get to Deep Space Probe number 12.
You can call me and play this little bit on the radio and be like, Mitch, you called it. I made this happen for you. And you now, sir, have to admit that Expedition 48 is totally
a worse name.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you. No doubts in my mind.
But I don't know. I feel like Star Rider 48. Let's do it. Star Rider 48. They are riding on stars out there. Like,
I feel something more like Earth Surfer would be.
That's a good one. Yeah. Sky Surfer 48.
There you go. We can sit here and come up with great names all day.
We should do that one day. You, the listener, probably might not appreciate it. So we might not sit specifically right here. But we maybe sit down somewhere else and come up with it. Who knows? In the meantime, what have we got up next, good sir?
A little bit of news about Google Fiber. Google Fiber is downsizing after missing their 5 million subscriber mark that they had hoped to hit this month. They're going to be cutting the team about in half.
Really?
Yeah.
That's surprising. Google Fiber has been wildly popular where it's been, from what I've heard. I really haven't heard many people who have not appreciated Google Fiber in any of the cities it's gone into. So even though they're, you know...
And that's certainly true, and it drives a lot of competition, but fiber itself still hasn't necessarily seen a tremendous amount of success, unfortunately.
How so?
Well, it's just that as of this year, they're struggling to get up into the millions
mm-hmm.
by subscriber count, and they were hoping that at this point, you know, going into 2017, that they'd be looking at 5 million. That was their original goal.
I hate to say it, they haven't been expanding any. You know, it's not
That's
so
true.
Much, you know, the developer team or the team on the back end, on the Google side of things, or the Alphabet side of things, I should say, so much as they've seriously just not branched into the right kinds of cities. I mean, I guarantee if they came here to Lexington that, you know, almost everyone in Lexington would subscribe with Google Fiber as opposed to our, you know, a local internet service provider.
Yeah. So,
you know, they're making the mistake by not hitting college towns. If you look at where they've been, they've not launched in a city that has a university.
Nashville?
Well, okay.
Atlanta?
I was thinking more of the one out in Arkansas, but yes, I suppose.
Yeah, I think is that Kansas City? I don't know. I'm just looking at a map right now. It's not labeled. But
I could be wrong, you know, and I would say that they, you know, in the cities that do have colleges like Nashville and Atlanta, that they probably have a much higher subscriber rate than in non-college cities.
That said, there's still only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cities right now.
And have they made any progress? I heard that they were going to Louisville at one point.
They have 4 other ones that they have green-lighted, and they have about a dozen more that they're still looking at doing but have not confirmed. They're listed as potential. So that includes Louisville, that includes Chicago, Oklahoma City, Orlando, Phoenix. Looks like another city. They have plans for San Francisco, and then they also have plans for one of the burbs of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, let's see, is there any other one? No, that's the big ones on the docket for what they have.
I see.
It's interesting to me that they have nothing up on the northeast
coast.
Yeah,
up in there.
New York, Boston, anything.
Maybe, I wonder if you looked at a map of where the Google data centers are located, because I know Google has a couple
that's
nationwide
fair.
Data centers. It would not surprise me if there was a Google center in Nashville or a Google center in Atlanta, and that these cities happen to coincide to be nearby Google data centers.
It makes sense. I mean, it gives them a good tie-in point.
It gives them an excellent tie-in point to do testing and everything.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're also looking at cities that are large and growing and have decent technical infrastructure already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
Certainly... I couldn't see them coming to Lexington too soon when there's much larger cities kind of all around us, you know, unfortunately, that you have Cincinnati and Columbus and you have Louisville, you have Nashville, you have several cities around that are
much larger
than Lexington, and I think you're going to see it definitely show up there first.
Mm-hmm. So, with that, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. So, thank you for tuning in and teching out with us here on Tech Talks. We are on your only alternative left, WRFL 88.1 FM, on your radio stereo dials. So, make sure you keep them on 88.1 so you can keep hearing our voices and our musics.
All right. We'll catch up with you in just a little bit.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.
All right, everyone, we are back. Thanks again for tuning in and checking out here on Tech Talks every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. from now until the foreseeable future.
Fair enough. I mean,
right.
You're right. And we're on for a whole nother semester and definitely chugging
Unless
on past that.
We might not be on a whole semester. Something might happen. You never know. We could both go on a vacation to the Bahamas. And first of all, that would be strange. Just two dudes going to the Bahamas together for no apparent reason other than to avoid being on their radio show.
Because we're bros.
Right? So that might happen, but it probably won't because we're both poor. So, with that, what is up next?
What is up next? So here's a story coming from the Wall Street Journal.
Tell me a story from the Wall Street Journal.
The article is written and kind of narrated by Jake Watts.
Narrated? Is there an audio file we get to play? I'm hoping at this point Morgan Freeman's going to start talking and
stream of consciousness.
The Wall Street Journal.
It's got this kind of stream of consciousness feel to the article, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
And it's about taking a trip through Singapore in which he rides along in a vehicle by Newtonomy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can guess where I'm going with this Newtonomy cab ride.
No clue. And edumacate me.
Newtonomy. This car has no human driver.
Okay.
He's riding along in one of the first places in the world that you can catch a cab that doesn't have a driver.
Being Wall Street.
No, in Singapore.
Oh.
He's working for the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, okay. I got you, but he's in Singapore.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so Singapore did it first. There you go.
Singapore has a licensed operating automated cab company, Newtonomy, and they are founded by two researchers from MIT, the company, and they're kind of still in a beta phase, but you know, is actually out in the real world still. You know, kind of like Google is. It's just that it's an open beta, I guess you would say. As far as that goes.
Fair.
Yeah?
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. I'm really curious to see, because if I'm not mistaken, traffic in Singapore is rather heavy.
It is.
Dense. I'm curious to see what the accident rate will be with these cars in such a dense populated area as opposed to somewhere.
I mean, this is a very different environment from being in San Francisco or in
New York
or in Washington.
Even here, you know.
Where you're doing lots of relatively low-density interstate driving and things like that on a commute. You know, in Singapore, it's such a different game because it's such a dense traffic pattern constantly.
And there's a lot of non-standard traffic going through there, such as bikes, rickshaws, you know, motorbikes, just all these weird traffic and vehicles that, you know, it'd be impossible for the car to be able to detect and understand what each of them are, as opposed to, okay, there's something coming at me that's roughly 18 feet long, it's about 4 feet, 5 feet tall, and it's about the size of a regular sedan. I should probably not drive into that.
Yeah.
Or get close to it.
Yeah.
Because it probably has a human driver.
And one of the things that he makes the point of is that, and I'm going to see if I can find the quote again. I just lost it from my site. He says, it felt safe, but overly cautious, much like a new driver.
Well, that's good.
Which is understandable, and it's honestly the safest behavior for a car that is learning to drive, it's still actively learning to drive itself, is that it has this cautious kind of new driver behavior. I think there's certainly something to be said for the first automated vehicles driving below normal traffic speed and taking their time and having lots of reaction time in turn. I mean, it's amazing to me that this is actually on the road, and you can get a lift in the back of this taxi. That's absolutely mind-boggling to me. That we're here already. I mean, we've talked about this pretty extensively, and my best guess was still, you know, 2 or 3 years away from seeing an open, you know, flaggable, hailable, autonomous taxi. You know, in my mind, that was still a couple of years away, but I guess in my mind also I was thinking of the American market. I can see where there are other parts of the world that might be more open or more flexible to this, or possibly even less regulated in how they handle it. So I can see that there would be other emerging markets first. It's surprising to me. This article really stuck with me this week. And that was one of the ones that I very especially pulled aside because I found it so fascinating. And guess what the car looks like?
If it's a koala, oh my god.
It looks almost exactly the same.
No.
As
stop.
The Google autonomous car.
No.
It's an electric Mitsubishi.
That's even worse. It's a Japanese koala car. No. Stop. And it still has the horrible fez on the top. Stop.
That's the trouble with it, though, is it's hard to put a Doppler radar without it taking up space and in turn having this hat-like quality on top of the car.
I don't see why we can't make a flat Doppler radar unless that's just me and not understanding how Doppler radars work. You know? At which point, I would much rather see Doppler radars, you know, built into each corner of the car.
Yeah,
I would imagine.
I think that's fair. I think there is something to be said for... I mean, it already is packed down with sensors, but I think maybe a distributed Doppler might. And then at that point, you can even take it so that you're scanning at different phases.
It'll be more accurate because it's got a triangulation going on of...
And not only that, you're hitting the same point multiple times. You're getting a lot of information back.
Which would add to its history information so it knows what not to hit next time. See? See? Why do we got to make everything look like a koala with a fez? Why? Stop.
But let's be honest. It's because of the vast majority of electric vehicles. All
it's
because
Google did
same.
It. Let's not fool ourselves. It's because Google did it. Because Google made theirs look like a koala with a fez. Mitsubishi was like, well, we got to do what Google did.
Name one electric car, though, outside of a Tesla, that doesn't already have this little round, bulby kind of...
I'm not going to lie. I intentionally do not look at electric cars or self-driving cars that have those bulbs.
But no, I'm not talking about the dome on top. I'm talking about the cloud-like kind of bubbly shape, like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
You know, they all have that kind of look. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. That's all kind of what they were, and especially...
Except for the Chevy Volt.
Yeah.
And the Nissan Leaf.
Even the Leaf is kind of...
It's a little rounded, but it's definitely more of a sloop.
Yeah. But certainly it still has that rounded, bubbly... You see, though, what I'm trying to say here is that...
Once you said Volkswagen Beetle, it all became clear.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I got to use the word sloop in conversation today,
yeah,
so
you
thank
did.
You for that. Sloop.
You're welcome. Wow.
All right, we are going to take a quick break.
That's fascinating.
And then we will be back, and we will go out on music. Yes.
Yeah, we'll play a little bit of music.
For the last half hour. Sorry, it's been such a short episode today. School just started back yesterday. Things have been a little hectic for myself and for Monsieur Grant. And so we promise that next week we will be back, and we will hopefully start having more guests on. That's another thing we're working on currently to get you all.
Coordinating a lot of guests.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be really good. We have a large lineup that we're working on, so we should be having guests pretty frequently through this semester. I'm excited for that.
Not to mention also getting out and interacting a lot more with the College of Engineering and sort of on campus a little bit more and having a more campus presence as well.
And branching out from there. So I think there's a lot of exciting things. Be sure
also,
to keep it.
I think we haven't mentioned this yet, and unless you've mentioned it for the couple shows I was gone, that Tech Talks is now podcasted.
Well, yeah, that is true. Tech Talks is podcasted
and
now.
It's available in the Apple Podcast Store and the Google Play Podcast Store.
Yeah, and you can also stream all the episodes straight off of our website. You can find that at wrfl.fm/podcasts. And it's not just us. We have a whole host of podcasts. Throughout the summer, it was us here at Tech Talks and Trivial Thursdays holding down the fort.
And
but,
now we're back up to 6, especially with if you were tuned in yesterday from 4 to 4:30, you heard Green Talks, which is a talk show about sustainability put on by the Student Sustainability Council here at UK. So, without further ado, let's listen a little bit more about podcasts. For those of you who also just witnessed this lovely little break we had in leading up to the break, while the radios were off, Grant, for those of you that do not know, is our podcast director here.
That's right.
At WRFL.fm.
So
being
getting,
the website.
Getting to listen to the word podcast about 20 times in a 2 minute span. Just
more
kind
than
of...
that, we said podcast at least 20 times of our own, and then the promo said it at least 20. So 40 times within as many minutes, yeah. 4 minutes. He flipped out. Let's just put it that
way. It's especially fun because we just had the new revival. It's pretty low-key through the summer. It's just us here at Tech Talks, and then it's the guys over at Trivial Thursdays and Mick over at Trivial Thursdays.
The guy,
Mick. Yeah. But during the school year, there's all of these shows that, like, come out of hibernation, and it's kind of crazy, actually, because this is my first time coming in when we're actually, like, in school cycle now. I started doing this over the summer, and so suddenly there's, like, oh, surprise, there's...
work to do.
Well, not just that, but there's actually, like, this whole host of shows that are springing up and kind of this coming out of hibernation, I guess. It is pretty exciting. It's a lot of work, but I think we produce some really, really good content here, and it makes me really thrilled for the shows that we have. We have some really amazing shows that make really, really great material for podcasts, and all of those can be found on whatever your preferred way of getting podcasts is, and you can also stream them on our website. We have them all available there going back. And so it's just, we have a lot of cool stuff, and I guess that's what I'm so happy about, is that we really...
us little podunk, tiny little college radio station is putting out professional content.
And we've really done a fantastic job of curating some really interesting shows, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. I like that. I really appreciate that.
Yep. So without further ado, we're happy that you have teched out with us, and we hope that you are going to stay tuned in as we start spinning you awesome tunes. So keep it locked all the way to the left. It's your only alternative left. This is
Tech Talks here on WRFL, and we'll see you next week.